Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to introduce you to the Union GK Premium. With Premium, you'll get vetted pro players and coaches, interactive breakdown sessions, and exclusive content from top names. Want to try it free for 30 days? Go to unionsports.com/content/join or download the app free at the Union GK on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, back once more from West Hollywood, California. We took a brief hiatus while we've been setting up the entire Union sports community, the Union goalkeeping community. Shout out to all you guys who have been getting ready for the official launch this month. With me, who's also been hard at work on the Union goalkeeper community, the one and only 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber, sporting her Angel City hat, representing the fact that they're starting to do much better in the standings and the playoff push is really coming strong.
That's the hope. That's the hope. Coming down to the wire, every game needs 3 points.
Speaking of needing 3 points, we know somebody that knows all about that because they play in Europe where they have promotion relegation. We have the one and only, I'm going to totally butcher the name of the club right now that you're on loan from West Ham right now. Jurgården. Okay. Jurgården goalkeeper, Caitlin Talbert, whose Swedish is probably way better than mine is. How is your Swedish now?
I just got here.
Okay.
I know how to say good morning, which is like God moron, or I'd say it with such a bad accent because I think like God moron. God moron. I know how to say no because the girls will just be like, nay. And I'm like, oh, you guys sound like horses.
You know what? You're still in a better spot than Saskia was when she went to Japan.
That's true.
Let's just say that was a little bit more difficult.
Pretty much all the Swedish speak English, so that helps.
Yeah. No, that helps
Japanese,
a lot.
Yeah, the Japanese, no.
Now, what happens, Katie? Do they try to be like, you know what? Here's the pronunciation, and then you do it again, and they go, you know what? I'm just going to speak English to you. Or like, what? How does the process work exactly?
I mean, in Sweden, they just kind of talk to me in English. But when I played in Portugal, it was a lot of time they tried to get me to like say it right and to speak the words, and then they laugh at me. So then I speak English, but they tried really hard to teach me Portuguese. But here at this team, I've only been here for like a month now. They kind of just speak English to me, just trying to like welcome me, make it easier.
I love that fact. You know, obviously, Saskia, you know, we've had a lot of goalkeepers on here, you know, that have traveled the world in their playing career. As we all know, that there's a lot of opportunities outside of just the NWSL to get pro matches and make a career for yourself out there. You know, one of the things, you know, Saskia, obviously, you know, you talk to a lot of goalkeepers who've made that experience overseas. And we've talked about that, is that acclimation process and finding a country where you feel comfortable, not just on the field, but off the field, too.
No, absolutely. I mean, we talked about my playing in Japan. I think it takes a certain type of person to be able to pull yourself outside of any sort of comfort zone and go play overseas. And especially in a place, let's say in a Portugal where not everybody speaks English. You know, that's why I said like in Sweden, it's like going to Holland, like pretty much everybody speaks English. So that helps. But when we were in Japan, one of my teammates, Claire Scanlon, who was on the Irish national team, she had a tough transition. Let's say she lasted a year. That it just, she couldn't kind of make that transition into a different culture, whether it was off the field down to like food and everything like that to on the field. And so I think it's not for everybody.
Yeah. You know, and by the way, Katie, feel free to step in anytime you want, right?
Yeah,
here.
Just
you
don't shut need to me wait up. For us
yeah. But let's do this a little bit here because there might be some people who are like, who is Katie Talbert? You know, you've got obviously this is why the topic of unconventional paths to the pro game is such a great topic to have somebody like yourself on here. Why don't you kind of give just people a little bit of a brief background of you coming from like D2 college to like Finland to Portugal to like all of that craziness?
Yeah, so I'm from like Sacramento, California, and I played like for Boca when I was younger, Boca Juniors and Sacramento United. And then like my junior, senior year at college, it was really hard to like find a school to go to because I couldn't like totally like afford to go to college. So I was working really hard to try and find like a scholarship somewhere to go play. So I ended up getting like my best like offer from Humboldt State University, which is a small D2 school in California, up Northern California. Usually like, I remember when like I committed there, people were like, where's Humboldt? Like, where is that? Like, it's literally like the middle of the forest, nowhere. yeah. And so I played there. They were like, okay, where you're usually like middle table, middle bottom table. We weren't ever like the best, but we weren't ever like the worst. So it was a small little D2 school. And I played like my 4 years there. And then right after my senior year, like COVID hit and I still had like one more semester of school. So I went back home to Sacramento and I was doing my online classes, and with COVID being hit, I couldn't go to the gym, couldn't like play soccer. Yeah. I almost called it football. I'm so used to Europe now.
It's okay.
Yeah, I couldn't.
We're all good with calling it football as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost said I'm so used to, because I get made fun of when I'm in Europe and I call it soccer. They're like, soccer. What? But yeah, so in 2020, I was like, I wanted to play pro, but I didn't have like a name for myself at all. Like no one knew who I was at all. Like I just, also because I went to a smaller D2 and they weren't like great, I saw a lot of shots. I was getting shot on. I think one season I was like number one in saves of all the goalkeepers in the league, but I also like had like, we had a lot of like sort of a lot of goals against us, but I was still number one in saves. And just because I'm getting shot, I'm constantly getting hit with balls, just boom, 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 boom. And so I'm like doing my best to try and like save as many as I can, but I can't save them all.
But you sound like Saskia, like when she was at Rutgers.
Absolutely. I was a yeah. Shooting gallery when I was at Rutgers. Not anymore, but it definitely was.
Yeah, I think that like definitely like helped me as a goalkeeper. Even when I was like a kid playing like in my first club, like we weren't like great. I was just getting shot on all the time. And so, yeah, so after I was looking, I wanted to play, I was like kind of not sure if I could because none of the like opportunities were there for me. It was really hard to find a club and to play pro. And so I ended up making like a highlight tape. Like it took me like months, and I would spend hours and hours every day like going through every single game I played in college and cutting film and having my saves and my kicks and my good plays and stuff. And like, they were like, oh, highlight tape should be like 3 to 5 minutes. By the end of it, I had like a 20-minute highlight tape and I cut it down to 10 minutes. I was like, I'm not deleting anything else out of here. Everything else is here is prime. I used to get rid of everything.
Like a full feature film.
Yeah.
So, it's the Katie Talbert documentary, the 30 for 30 on ESPN.
Exactly. It's like five seasons and installments.
Yeah, it was so much work. It took me so long to make. But then I have my highlight tape, and then I also
so just quickly, yeah. Katie, just because we just from a time constraint standpoint, we just kind of have to move on a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And then
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then
I love this. I feel like I'm getting the entire documentary of the Katie.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. And then I signed with Benfica and I played there for a year and a half, played in Champions League. And when I was done with Benfica, I still didn't have like enough points to go play in England. But West Ham was still able to sign me. And so because they signed me and then loaned me here to your Gordon so that I could get like enough points by the time I'm done with my loan here to go and play in England.
Well, that is not a roadmap to every which way.
We talk about unconventional.
And just casually saying, and we played in the Champions League and Benfica won the league, by the way.
Oh, yeah, they won the league the 2 years that I was there. They won the league both times.
Yeah, so I'm like...
So you went from
lived in five countries.
Yeah, you've lived in five countries. You went from playing at a small school in the woods, D2, to, you know, breaking your nose and ankle basically at OL Reign, to winning, you know, the Portuguese league with Benfica. Being on West Ham and loaned out to Sweden. I think this is exactly like what we're talking about. Like,
I mean, it's literally, literally like, you know, and when you think about it, and I think, you know, Saskia, one of the things too, when we're going to get to it, once we get into this topic here, is that a lot of parents out there need to hear this too,
absolutely,
because they're so freaked out about their kid needs to go play at, you know, Wake Forest or UCLA.
What I was thinking. If you back this up even to college, like, and say, look at where you've gotten going to a D2 school, and like the road to success and the road to being a successful pro doesn't necessarily mean the UCLAs and the UNCs and stuff like that. It can be an unconventional path. You know, it's really, you know, it can. And there's so many options out there from college and then on up.
You know, by the way, speaking of that, we were talking about, so, you know, people kind of, you know, creating, carving a path for themselves. You know, Katie, I mean, you know, you make it sound like, oh, you know, and I did this and I did that, and then this happened. And the people are like, wow, just right place at the right time. But literally, I'm just going to show this right here. Like, this is just you just out on the field in Humboldt, kicking the ball around, training on your own, which just not enough young kids do this out there.
Yeah, I've just always been like super, honestly, like super passionate about soccer, like my whole life. Like,
goalkeeper can do that?
Nobody. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't bring you in to be the striker. Like, what is going on here?
It's my favorite thing to do. Like, when I'm bored, I just take a soccer ball and I just go out and I train. And I've done this like every place I lived. Like, this was actually like in Sacramento when I was home for a break, but like I did this since I was like a kid. Like, I would carry, like when I was in high school, I would carry a soccer ball with me. Like, oh, this is good, because I was playing football with this was in Humboldt, this is with the football team.
So now we got Justin Jefferson here, like, yeah, receiver.
But like, when I was in high school, I would carry a soccer ball around with me class to class. And like, every time we had a break or lunch, I would like juggle with my friends, or I would just kick the ball around. Like, I would like, after lunch, I would go to my like fifth period, like covered in sweat. I was like, sorry, I was playing soccer. Oh, what are you doing after school? I'm going to go play soccer with the boys, you know? Like, it's just like, it's just what I did. Like, I just find so much like fun in it.
That's awesome.
I mean, look, I'm looking at this right here, and you know,
and
we
no,
talk about,
I can't juggle.
I can't do any of this stuff. Like, this is an insanity right here. I mean, did you play on the field in school too?
No, I really wanted to in high school. I think like one or two times they let me play like pitch when we were winning, or play on the pitch. There it is, English terms again. They let me play field when we were winning by a lot. And usually I was four at least once. But like, I did not play the field much. But like, I don't know, like when I'm here, the first 10 minutes of training, like I'm always kicking the ball like really high up in the air and trapping or like doing tricks. It's like my favorite thing to do. It just makes me so happy.
I'm just looking at this right here, and it shows like the passion and that sort of thing. And I love the fact, you know, Saskia, that she brought up that she would just take a soccer ball with her and just go out and do stuff, because I think not
I
enough young goalkeepers.
I would do that all the time.
You know, but I mean, like nowadays, at least, you know, ourselves, or the kids think,
well,
it needs to be.
We got kicked out of the house because there was nothing else to do. So it was like, so I just go in the backfield and take a soccer ball. But no, now kids don't do this as much. I agree.
I think that's so good that people do this stuff, though. It really like sets you apart from everyone, I feel like.
It does. Absolutely.
I mean, look, if you're a young and, you know, as we're kind of, you know, talking about, you know, showcasing and everything like that, and finding an opportunity and everything like that, if you're a young goalkeeper listening right now, or a parent listening right now, you know, watching the show right now, Susk, like, you know, if a college coach sees or hears about this, they're going to have a certain point of view of that person in regards to like, oh, I don't need to spoon feed this person. I don't need to, you know, micromanage this person. They're going to put putting in the work on their own.
No, absolutely. When you see that somebody like
on their free time and stuff takes that time off. And like I always say, like, go out to the park. Like, it doesn't have to be structured. Go to the park with a friend, hit some long balls. I used to go to the park by myself and find the wall, you know, the tennis wall, and just like work on like handling and just like just getting in my own head and just doing what I had to do. Because I enjoyed it, because it was like a release for me. I didn't sit around waiting for something structured, waiting for practice. And I tell goalkeepers that all the time. I'm like, it's what you're doing outside of practice and off the field that's going to set you apart. And, you know, and it doesn't always have to be structured.
Oh. Yeah, I was never structured. I would just go take a ball. I had no plan. I'd bring my boots and my ball, and I would do whatever I wanted, whatever I felt right. If I want to go kick the ball like 100 yards and sprint after it and then like do cartwheel or something, I'm going to do it.
New training. Cartwheel.
So let's talk about this, Katie. You know, as we're kind of delving into this topic here, obviously, you know, everybody's got a different path to get there. You know, one thing that I've noticed a lot of times, and obviously, you know, you talk about this as well too, is that when you're, let's just say, coming either from a smaller area, you know, I don't want to say a rural area, but a smaller, you know, soccer area or a smaller school, you know, you have to find ways to showcase yourself. So like what were some of the ways that you showcased yourselves outside of just the tape?
I was mostly just like the video. I mean, I would contact people. It was mostly like just like talking to coaches and showing them like who I was as a person and a player. It's kind of like sometimes I would like, so I have like on my Twitter is mostly just like soccer stuff. And sometimes I would go through and I'd follow as many coaches as I could like on Twitter, and that's where I posted like my tricks and my trainings, like those videos we just played. And I would also post like some highlights, and I would like hope that they would see it. Yeah, and also like my Twitter was very much like put all like football tweets and relatable stuff. So I was like, okay, I hope they can see like who I am as a person through this and such.
I love what you just said there, you know, Saskia, because we've talked about this, and obviously, you know, not to just talk about the union, but any social media in general.
No, it always sends me back to Maddie Mungia. It always does, because Maddie, like, obscurely, I saw her training stuff her father posted on Facebook. Yes, people still use Facebook on Facebook. and this was when she was maybe 13, 12. And you remember Mike? I was just like, oh my God, you have to see this kid. And yeah. I was, you know, that's when I was at UCLA, and I was like, we just kept an eye on her. And now what? She's going to Alabama. She just got called up to the Mexican under 17 national team. But it was the squeaky wheel in a sense. And it wasn't about emailing colleges. They just posted it on social media, and I happened to come across it. Patting myself on the back there a little bit,
but I think that's important. You know, Katie, is in regards to like, you have to be mindful of what you post out there, because that's the representative of your brand. Type of thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. I like my Twitter actually started off as like a football parody account, like just jokes and like relatable tweets. And then eventually I started turning it into me, because I like post a trick. And eventually, like, if someone were to like stalk me on Twitter from the bottom, it's like all these football memes. And then you go up and it's like, oh, it's her. Oh, she's pro. Oh, what?
Yeah, I get seen.
Who is this? Yeah.
But that's part of the union. And that is one of the things that's great, because now knowing posting on the union, you are going to be seen directly by coaches, players all around the world.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about this, you know, because obviously, you know, these unconventional kind of locations and everything like that. Like how, Katie, do you go about finding these kind of like, you know, second division team in Iceland and all those sorts of things? Cause that's not something that's easy. It's not like you can just, you know, like with colleges, like they have like a whole directory or whatever, like everything's written in a different language. Like how do you go about that?
Oh, honestly, like my agent would do a lot of that for me. Like I just would do what he like told me, like, oh, make a highlight tape. Oh, like, can you fill this out or give a word for this? And like, he would have like all the contacts and all the teams. He'd got contact teams and be like, well, this team's interested in you and this team. Mm-hmm. So like, honestly, my agent has done a lot of that for me. Or sometimes my uncle does it too.
I mean, look, the uncle thing is, it's amazing. It's right. Kind of reminding me of the Maddie thing with it. It's her dad, right? was her dad, right? Who was posting, who was posting the stuff, you know, to have somebody in your corner, Saskia, you know, who not only believes in you, but also understands how to market you appropriately. Because there's a lot of parents out there trying to market their kids. And I'm just going to use, you know, parents in a loose term, whether it's an uncle, an aunt, a dad or mom or whatever. And they're not going about it the right way because they're trying to push something down somebody's throat.
Right. And you also have to, you have to be with somebody that understands where you are, your level, you know? So if you have somebody pushing you to something that maybe is too, is above your level at that time, you're going to get frustrated. So, you know, I'm not saying, obviously you started for Benfica and stuff. I'm not talking about you, Caitlin. I'm just saying for those parents out there, like, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to say, same thing as college. Are they, you know, am I pushing my kid to go to, you know, this camp, this ID camp, when they're not at an ID camp level? I say that all the time. Like, I'm sitting on the UCLA field and my first ID camp, I was like, oh, so this is the best players in California and around the country. And I was like, oh my God, this kid can't catch a ball. This is an ID camp. And they're like, ID camp is a loose term. And I'm like, well, it shouldn't be. And parents are putting, you have to be honest with yourself and honest with your kid on how to get to where you want to get. Don't just throw them to the top right away. Kind of, you have to go through a process.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't at the top when I was looking at colleges. Every time we, like my dad would kind of help me talk to college coaches and stuff. Every time we tried to talk to those bigger teams, they'd be like, she's too raw. She has all this potential and all this athleticism, but she's just like late. She's just like not there yet. Like, she should be a little like better, but like, but that's all right, because that's also why I took my path. Like,
exactly.
I had, you know, like I was like UCLA and all that stuff, like playing level. Like, I always had the potential. That's what coaches said. They were like, well, she's just like not there yet, but I know she will. So I ended up going to too.
I think that even with your path here, and we've talked about this a lot, Mike, with the NWSL is, and we've seen it with Sheridan. We've seen it with players that, you know, are you going to come and sit like behind a Sheridan, behind, you know, a Haricich as a third goalkeeper, not travel and stuff like that? Or like the Rain did with you, said, hey, go get experience, go play. Because you just played in front of however many thousands of people and won your, you know, the league for Benfica. You played in the Champions League, so you're playing against the best, right? And so now when you want to come back, it's like, hey, look what I have. Like, look, like you have this, like this experience at the top, top, top level that you would have never gotten sitting on a bench for 3 years. And granted, you might be out, you could beat out a Fallon, you could beat out somebody like that. But what, like now you're beating people out because you have this experience. So when you get thrown back in, like you're ready to go, hit the ground running, play against Angel City, play for Angel City, play whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Actually, I'm so glad that I didn't sign to like a team in the NWSL, like a third or fourth, because that's what I was like okay with. I was like, when I first came out, I was like, I'll just be a third or a fourth, you know. And in my head, I was like, oh, I could probably like work my way up, get the experience. It'll be good for me, like playing with it. But like, I'm so glad that I went and left. Yeah. I realized that like after I've left and such, like I'm so glad that I ended up going overseas and getting this playing experience, because now when I keep building my resume, like eventually with the more experience and the better I get playing in all these games in Europe, like I'll be able to like make my own path and pave my own way. Because at first it's like, you have to go here, you have to do this, you have to do this, and I want to get to the point where I get to like choose exactly where
you want to go. Yeah, because if you look at it like this, with the expansion draft, these teams, Bay and Utah, they're going to need to pick up, obviously, goalkeepers. So you say three goalkeepers per team. So you look at who are they going to pick, right? So if you take an Angelina Anderson, who played a game great for Angel City, right, and stuff like that, okay, maybe one of them takes that. But you need a keeper that has been playing, 15, 20, 30 games a season against great to come in and start to play, you know, and that's what you're getting. So eventually with this experience, they're going to turn around and say, hey, Caitlin she's in, at Benfica or wherever you are at that time. And they're going to be like, she has so much experience. Let's bring her in and bring you in as a starter, not as like a fourth.
Yeah. Because at first I used to be like, my mindset was like, I'm okay with being like second, third, fourth. But now I'm like, I know that I deserve to be a starter somewhere. And I know that I put in the work wherever I am. And so that's what I want. That's my goal. I want to just always like start and play. That's like what I want.
I mean, look, you know, one of the things, you know, that I want to say kind of, you know, it's a little bit of a segue here, but Katie, but like the thing is that like, you know, you're being on loan from West Ham, which is in the WSL, which is one of the top leagues in the world, mm-hmm. to the, you know, into Sweden, to the first division, which is a very good league. It's mm-hmm. not like
it's been
we're
around
talking
forever.
About, yeah. Like probably one of the oldest professional leagues.
One
in
of the
world,
original
right?
leagues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day, it was Sweden or Japan. That was it.
Yeah, that's what I heard and stuff. That's what I actually didn't know that, to be honest, until mm-hmm. recently. And they were telling me about that. I was like, how did I not know that?
Yep.
Well, so let's talk about this before we kind of get into some of these clips right here. You know, Kate, is that the fact that, like, obviously, you know, playing at Humboldt State, you know, you had to find, because of your circumstances, you know, you were looking for financial aid, you were looking for the right school. You know, like how did you kind of go about that process? Like, was it like, well, I need to find a school that's willing to give me enough money? And like, do young players out there, like there's so much chasing, like the kind of the dangling carrot of going to like a North Carolina or something like that, that they leave opportunities like this off on the table that are available to them?
Yeah. So it was like my junior year of high school, all of my teammates and my friends were committed to colleges and all this. And I still hadn't gotten like any teams interested. And I was really stressed out. And like my junior year, like I was like, I really needed financial help to go to college and all that. Like I was planning on going to community college if I couldn't find like a school to go to or to help me. But I remember in junior, all my friends were committing and stuff. And I was so stressed. I was like, oh my God, I haven't committed anywhere and all my friends are. And like the first offer I got was from like Sonoma State. And it wasn't like a great offer. It was like almost like no help. And they didn't even have like the major I wanted. And I was just like, oh, I'll just take it because I felt so pressured because everyone around me was committing schools. And then eventually, like the longer I was committed there, and I was like, I just really don't want to go here. It's not enough. And I just did it as like the pressure. And so like I decommitted from Sonoma State, like, I think I decommitted like maybe January, my senior year of high school. So I only had like a few months to like figure it out after that. I decommitted and then ended up like talking to more schools in Humboldt State. I actually really wanted a major in wildlife conservation. And because as a kid, I was like obsessed with animals and I always wanted to just be a wildlife biologist. And like that was this major that like barely any schools had. And Humboldt State actually had that major. And so I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like they have the major I want to. I went and visited school. It's like hippie town in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, this is so neat. So and then like, yeah, it was like, it's just a school in the middle of the forest. And like, I was like, this is awesome. And then like, I was talking to the coach and stuff. I had my little like recruitment thing. And then they like offered me a scholarship and I was there with my dad and I was like, oh, what? Okay. I was like, yeah, I'll go. I'm committed there. And I was so happy that I chose that place because, like, I chose it because it had the major I wanted. I was getting the financial help that I needed. And it was in a town in an area that, like, I just loved. And it was, like, totally, like, my space where I wanted to be. So that's how I ended up choosing it. And I still think I made the right choice. Even though now, like, for my career, I don't even use my degree currently. But, like, it was just the, like, experience and to have that as well. Like I have that, like no one's going to take my degree away from me, you know, football's
that's right.
I don't want to do that. Then I have it.
I mean, yeah. And football's that's never, right. you know, not forever. And like, I mean, it's funny that you said that about the wildlife thing. It's like, do you know Fallon Tillis Joyce? She's a marine biologist.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
I had to take some marine invertebrate classes and such to get my degree as well.
I love it. I love it. All right. So let's get into some of these clips right here. I'm going to throw some of these up here. This is Suskia's favorite part of the show.
this is my favorite.
Your favorite. Of course.
This is what broke the Oh, this was to win. This was to win the league title in Portugal last season, and we had broke the world at the time. We had broke the national record for most fans in attendance at a women's game. I think there's like 15,000. We've since broke the record, but this game was record breaking at the time, and it was against Sporting, our rivals, in the men's stadium. And whoever, like, if we won that game, we won league and we won the game. And this is just my favorite.
So
it's my favorite, like, football memory.
I love it.
I mean, this is incredible. This is also like, it was also to preserve the shutout too, because it's like in the 89th minute, right?
Yeah.
And it's against Fatima Dutral. So you kind of see the ball lifting. You recognize the height. You don't go too low on the shot. You stay up, and it's a great save. Look at how excited. Massive.
It's a huge save.
Just massive. So,
like, my best save of my life currently. I think it is.
I mean, just technically, you know, Saskia, from a standpoint here, we always talk about this in penalty kicks, you know, how many goalkeepers already start dropping low because they're expecting the ball to be hit low and hard. And she stays up high, recognizes the height of the shot, stays with it. And it's not easy to do. That's just brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant right there.
And I love that you went with two hands. Go again.
Boom.
No, because that helped with the power. And I try to tell keepers that all the time, that if you can, the save ends up being with your top hand, but to draw that power through your body with two hands and then shoot the hand at the last minute gives you that extra kind of power behind the ball, as opposed to that anchor and hanging that one arm. And look how she's coming forward. So you're diving forward and meeting the ball. So I think if you go flat on this, you could be beat. It's just a great save. It's a great save because those ones that get roofed are hard. Like, how many, they always seem to go in, and they,
Yes. So I feel like as a goalkeeper, I have like really fast reactions, I think. So I didn't know that at the time that I was going to be diving to my left. I was like, okay, I'm going left. Like, that's what I'm going to do. But like going up was only something I did because I was reacting to the ball she kicked.
Exactly.
Because like, if I knew I was going to my left, but if she had kicked me on the ground, I would have stayed low. But because I saw it was an air ball, I like jumped.
And I
say
this all the time.
Just jump in the air. Yeah.
And I say this all the time, Mike, and you know that. It's react to it. And and the reason being is because you're forcing them to really beat you then. And if you know, especially if you have really, really sharp and quick reaction, you know you're going to, you feel it. You could tell, like, you get the jump, but I still think you hold long enough here. And then you react to the release of the ball, you know? And so how many times do we see people just automatically go, like you said, Mike, low and left, and then you're beat up top? Yep. You actually committed to the left, but you said, well, where's the ball going?
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, you can start as the ball's being hit. You can start shooting your body, but don't change the height of your body unless you see the flight move. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just absolutely massive right over there, Katie. So now after this one here, I just got to see that again here. All right. So let's go into a little bit more of a practical scenario. Not everybody's going to be in the 89th minute to win the league in a penalty kick situation, but a lot of young goalkeepers are going to be in a corner kick situation. This is now against HIF. So this is with your new club now, right?
Yeah,
look at this crowd. Looks fun.
Yeah, there is a lot of people here. Yeah, and there was mostly the opposing team's fans. This is from my last game from last weekend.
So the 60th minute, ball's in swinging. You kind of recognize the pressure coming in, and it's a great looping box out into a safe space. And I think a lot of young goalkeepers need to see this here, because what I love about it is that when that ball is coming in here, you recognize the loop and you just redirect the ball and let it keep going with its own momentum rather than trying to change the direction of the ball, which I absolutely love. You kind of just guide it.
Well, I also think in that amount, look at that traffic. Good God, everybody's on top of you.
Me and my defender headed each other, but we were okay. It was just a little bit.
I think, like, in this concept, maybe to bring this down or try to bring this down might have been the wrong decision. And I think if you are going to box it to clear it, what was that, a throw-in almost? Like, so it's – and you know what I also like is that you don't get drawn –
and you know I hate that, Mike, is that you go with that runner and that person that's standing in front of you. If they lunge forward, you see goalkeepers. So you kind of reposition yourself so you're central and you can get this at its highest point.
Yeah, like I definitely had like someone on me and she was like in my way. I was like, I need to get this ball. So I just did a quick like shove and then boom, but I didn't like totally like follow her.
You didn't go forward. Exactly. You didn't follow her forward. You just kind of said, yeah.
I was like, get to move.
Because one thing I see, especially with a lot of young goalkeepers in this situation, is that they get in front of the ball, and then the ball, literally they're here, the ball's back here, and it's in the back of the net type of a thing, because like they just go too high in that situation.
They go too.
I want to talk about, yes, I want to talk about the box here real quick before we move on to another clip here, because there's a conversation out there with a lot of young goalkeepers, and you know, Siski always talks about, you know, young goalkeepers taking things too literally from coaches, but you know, coaches will go like, you got a box with two hands. You got a box with two hands. Well, you physically can't get both hands. If you tried to go two hands right here, like you're not going to get any power on this because of the pressure that you've got with the body weight. And also the walls bending away from you as opposed to going into you.
Yeah, but where are you going to box with two hands, right? So if you box a ball in this situation with two hands, those two hands come forward, right? So you're boxing a ball that's coming across your body forward. So now where's that ball going to land? That ball's going to land somewhere around the top of the 18 with, I don't know the name of the team in white, with that one girl wide open, just waiting for you to do that, right? So yeah. I was always taught in this situation, continue the ball on its way, right? So Tony Machico... Yeah. Don't try to redirect something this way in this situation. Continue it on its way. And that's exactly what she did.
Yeah, because it was like a floater. It was a floater. You want to like more like redirected and it was going long. If it's like more direct and straight to you, then you punch it. If it's coming straight, but because it was like a lofted ball in a way, it's like you can't get enough on a lofted ball. You usually can't get enough momentum to like do two hands. You need to have one hand and let it follow through. Yeah, direct because it has so much power. You could like, punch forward, but yeah.
Yeah, just keep it going.
Personally, I think this is a really dangerous ball. I think these looping balls with air underneath them like that kind of drop like that are really really dangerous balls.
Especially with 15,000 people on you in the box, yes.
I mean, there's as many people in the box as there are in the stands, which means that it's packed, completely packed. Yeah. I mean,
Kayla, yeah, I usually don't like look at them. I just kind of zone in.
No,
the ball.
And you can tell that you can tell that you stayed on track with the ball, because what you have is a lot of players. And that's why I said you might have pushed her forward to give yourself some space, but she didn't draw you out of position. And you see a lot of players in this get too obsessed with the runs and the people around them that run or that movement draws them out of position. And they totally fudge this. And
I definitely used to do that. I definitely used to do that, but like now I've tried to stop doing that. Like I've worked on stopping doing that. But I definitely, that's something like all goalkeepers, even like in the pros sometimes, like
happens, but that's why those runs
it's good
are
to
made.
Work on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's a decoy run to pull you out of position. That's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah.
All right. I want to move on to this clip right here. Cause this is now like 5 minutes into extra time, basically. And what it looks like here, you know, Kay, and you can tell us, so it looks like the ball's kind of cleared out of the box and it kind of bounces in front of it. Is that Agnes Ekloff? Is that who that is who struck that ball right over there from HIF?
I love that she volley? Just got there and you're asking her to know everybody's name, Mike.
From the other
I was doing my research.
I know my own team's players.
All right, you've probably been more focused on your own team and your own training than like researching the Swedish first division like me.
You're like, who's Agnes?
I was looking at the ball. Where's the ball? I want to try to catch it.
All right, so Agnes Ekloff, she hits a half volley rising and you stay high. And just a redirection right over the bar right here. You don't go flying in the air. You don't go negative. Like, you just stay nice and high. And it's just a simple touch. And again, like we talk about, like just redirecting the ball rather than anything crazy right here.
It's also all about positioning here. You know, just she takes those little micro movement steps, right? So you see some goalkeepers that'll just stay planted and then now you're diving, right? To get the touch on this and no reason to do that, right? You see just two little shuffle steps here, put yourself in the right position and touch the ball. You make something that a lot of goalkeepers make look difficult easy, which is, see, so it'll go shuffle, shuffle, and now she shuffle, shuffle, and now she's in position. And now it's just a touch.
Yeah, because I like what I like to do is I try and stay back in my goal, but then once they enter the box, I step forward and I approach forward, cutting the angle more. Because I just wait until they enter the box, and once they do that, then I start to approach.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah, I love, Saskia, what you just brought up here.
If you go back two steps, right, a lot of goalkeepers, young goalkeepers and a lot of goalkeepers will say, okay, I need to stay kind of on an angle, like right there. Like a lot of goalkeepers wouldn't leave that position because they're worried about the far post, the dipping ball or something like that. And so this ball going towards the upper near post, you're going to see them dive for, right? But instead she's saying, okay, there's pressure on the ball. She's taking the strike. I'm going to take two short shuffle steps. And now I'm in position to just stay big, stay high, and just touch the ball over. So it's really good goalkeeping.
See, this is why, Kay, why she's a professional broadcaster for CBS is because of this type of meticulousness that you got going on right here. I didn't even think about that, Suskin, in regards to the fact that, like, Katie, you're stealing space because the player, because the ball is bouncing, you have time to steal space as opposed to having to hold position.
Yeah, it's really because there's a bigger gap before when she could kick it. So it's like you always try to steal space when it's, like, not at their feet, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Boom. Boom. Yeah. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely love that right here. All right. Let's move on from here I'm going to go outside of these clips here. Cause I literally can't see what's going on. Cause it's so, is that the shadowness from being up, near the Arctic Circle? Is that what's going on right over
here? Wait, it's summer. So the sun doesn't go down.
Exactly.
How are you dealing with that? Haven't
this
you
game's probably
that
at like
yet?
10 o'clock at night.
The sun goes down here. That's like Iceland. Where
No. In Sweden?
Well, not yet. It's still summer.
No, we were in the 95 World Cup. Yeah, that's how old I am. We were there in what? July. And it didn't get dark.
It just does. I mean, well, I came here in August.
So. Maybe it's starting to get darker
because
now.
When I was... Yeah.
Ask them. No. I'm telling you. I was stuck in Yavla for a month, so trust me. And we had those huge shutters on our windows because it was this weird, like, dusky red hue.
Yeah, like, so it was in Iceland. When I was in Iceland, it didn't get dark for, like, months.
Yeah. It's like practices at 1 a.m.
I love, by the way, you know, that, like, poor Katie here, like Saskia and I are like giving her more information on Sweden. And she's like, I just got here. I'm just trying to learn the names of my teammates and how to order in a restaurant. Like, I don't know anything else that's going on.
I don't know. I just work here.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically. All right. So let's go to this here. So this is a 51st minute. It's against KDFF. It's a free kick outside the box, probably 30 or so out. So it's a deep ball. So first off, when there's a ball from this far, most likely, Kate, it's going to be a pass of some sort. They're not going to try to strike from that type of a distance, most likely, because they're just probably not going to get the power. And as that ball's kind of hit, it's just kind of a looped ball over the wall. You recognize that, and then it's immediate chase onto the ball, and then you go low because you see that flight going down. Rather than staying high, you recognize you have to go down and protect that ball. I think it's just simple and effective, never losing touch of the flight of the ball here.
Yeah, and I also, like, approach the way I caught it is not how I would normally catch the ball. Normally, I would catch the ball, land, and scoop it, but I saw their forward coming straight for me. So I did a little, like, not really how you're supposed to goalkeep, little, like, knee slide, because I didn't want her to be kicking me right in the head or kneeing me in the head. So I stayed upright so that my head would, like, go into her thigh and not, like, her knee and have another broken nose. So it's, like, it's not really, like, how you're supposed to catch. Oh, I slid on my knees because, like, that kind of looks funny. Why did I do that? And I was like, oh, yeah, she was coming for my face. That's why.
I got no problem with it.
I just stayed up.
No, but I think it's a tough ball to come for. And we see so many goalkeepers that don't come for that. And then it's like put Madison Hammond the other week for Angel City. Whatchamacallit didn't come for the ball, and she just like got that really dink second winning goal. But like, if you know, it's tough. That's a really tough ball because you know everybody's running at you. Right. Mm-hmm. You know you're gonna get hit. you know everybody's running at you. So it takes courage to come for this ball. And it's good
time. I get hit a lot. It's okay.
Saskia did too.
This is true.
I think we all do. I'm probably going to get hit tonight again, and I get injured every game. Anyway, moving on. I want to say this though. You know, Kate, one of the things that you know you said like, oh, this isn't textbook goalkeeping, but I think it actually shows GKIQ, the fact that you're able to improvise within the moment. Because a lot of young goalkeepers, they go, oh no, I'm supposed to drop and scoop the ball down here, and they'll do what they're supposed to do.
And then they're off on a stretcher. Pleated
in the face. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I have a lot of like goalkeeping that's not by the book because I didn't have a goalkeeper coach until like a couple years ago. So like in college, there was no goalkeeper coach. I barely got goalkeeper coach when I was younger.
Isn't that crazy?
I had like a goalkeeper coach maybe like once or twice a month when I was in Iceland was like the first time. But like everything I taught myself. So I feel like is probably better than most because no one taught me the technical game until 2 years ago.
Well, it's looking pretty good.
This is one of the reasons
here.
Why we're creating the Union goalkeeping app is because like there are people like yourself, Katie, out there, you know, who, because there's a lot of barriers to entry in the youth game in regards to like the cost of private coaching and everything like that, they don't have these type of opportunities. So we're trying to bring these resources to people because imagine if you had gotten, you know, for a quote, lack of a better term, proper training when you were like 12. You know, or 11 or whatever, you know, it's amazing what you've been able to accomplish. And you're still kind of like Matt Turner in the men's game, like you're still catching up. So the sky's the limit for you. I'm just really, really impressed. Just absolutely massive.
Thank you. I'm still like every day I'm learning like something new, like working on it.
So let's go here. I want to actually, because of time here, I'm going to go down to here we go. Okay, cool. So this is now we're going back to Benfica. So you probably know these players a little bit better. This is a club called Lenk. Is that who it is, Kate?
Lenk? Yeah, Lenk.
Okay.
Lenk, yeah.
Eduardo Rodriguez dribbles from midfield with separation, and then she tries from distance to chip you. Not a great decision on her part because with the great footwork that you've got motion, full on extension, and you hold on to the ball, which Saskia loves to see. I mean, this is massive because this could have been a meal if you'd spilled this ball right here.
Yeah, like I wasn't expecting her to shoot it, but I was like ready for it. Like, did I think she was going to? No. Was I ready to catch that ball when it was coming? Yeah. And that's like something that's so important. Like wherever if the other team has the ball anywhere, like anywhere, just be ready for a shot. And that's something
that's right.
I feel like is important.
I mean, I'm looking at this.
It's the footwork.
Exactly. And I was just going to say, like, for somebody who didn't get goalkeeper
training, I was just thinking.
My gosh, it's like,
well, because it's like most keepers, like you try to teach them the drop step. Don't go with the flight of the ball. Get those two big power steps in, drop steps, so you can kind of get behind the ball a little bit. You see a lot of goalkeepers that can't get their feet under there in this situation, and they just make a meal of this. And instead, those two drop steps give you the power to even go up and bring this down. It's just great footwork. And the fact that you didn't have training, like conventional training until a couple years ago, I'm just sitting here like, oh my God.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know how I knew how to do that necessarily.
People ask me if there's such thing as a natural goalkeeper. And there actually is. They're goalkeepers, and you're one of them that just understand how to move properly and efficiently and effectively naturally. And then we add on to it. Like, you know.
I mean, we can even see with you just kind of playing around, like in the, for lack of a better term, the backyard, with the soccer ball, you're just a natural athlete. Like most people can't do that. Yeah. Even soccer players, like you're like reverse kicking the ball with pace behind your other leg to the top corner. Like I'll never be able to do that in my life, probably. Like, you know,
shout out my parents' incredible genetics.
No, it's good.
So
stuff
happens when two college athletes have kids.
There you go. It's good.
So
stuff.
Here's actually, speaking of pathways right here, this is from Sergio, Maddie's dad. Congratulations to her. She's amazing. Everyone has different pathways to make it. Hers is very impressed. Congrats. Yes, she's natural.
Hey, tell Maddie we said congratulations on Mexico. Big things coming.
That's awesome. What's crazy, I thought she was at Alabama this year. She still has one more year of high school before heading.
I always forget
before
that
heading
too.
Out. Mm-hmm. Because when we hear these commitment stories, you know, you're like, oh, I just committed to blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, you'll be
they
there next
year.
Like,
year. Mm-hmm.
A whole other year.
Yeah, like Morgan's got a whole other year.
That's crazy.
Right.
I committed and then I was immediately there because I was so late.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, everybody has a different path. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm really impressed that you said to yourself, I just don't feel this. This isn't where I want to be. And I feel that a lot of young players out there get pressured into doing things because they got offered a scholarship. And you have to look at the bigger picture and you have to be happy at school. And if you're not happy in your environment at school, your soccer is going to suffer. Everything's going to suffer. And to put yourself in a position to struggle mentally and emotionally, and it's just going to all trickle down. And the fact that you had the IQ enough to say, I can't do this. You know,
it was really hard. It was a really hard decision because I'm like someone like when I commit to something, I find it really hard to like pull out. Like once I commit, I'm like, okay, yeah. I did it. I'm really stubborn too. So when I commit, I can be really stubborn. So when I commit to something, I'm like, nope, this is what I want to do. But it was just like, it just didn't make sense. I talked to my dad about it. He was like, well, you got to call the coach. Here's the phone. Okay.
Sorry, I'm for my own entertainment value, I need to pull these back up here and just have them on playing on the screen while we're talking because like these are amazing. I'm probably gonna go out and try to do this stuff and see.
Don't, Mike, don't.
This is like 6 years ago. I'm so much better now. This is videos literally like 6 years ago or something. Like I haven't I still do this stuff all the time. I just haven't recorded it in so long.
I love it. Keep recording it. I want to see more.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see. I want to see what professional Caitlin Talbert can do. Now the Ederson of soccer, Ederson number two of soccer right here. Well, Kate, we appreciate you taking all the time on the show and everything like that. I know it's like what, almost 11 o'clock for you over there right now.
And probably laid out.
10 o'clock. No, it's dark. It's been dark for hours. That's funny. You call me the Ederson though, because everyone, like from the fans of Benfica, call me the female Ederson because I have so many like tattoos, and like he played for Benfica as well, and so they're always like call me the female Ederson.
I mean, that's literally
probably
more than just the tattoos.
I think it's a little more than just the tattoos.
How's your Portuguese now?
My Portuguese is actually pretty decent. Muito bem.
There you go.
Well, obviously, guys, Kate, obviously, you know, you're very prominent on social media. And now I know that you're a member of the Union goalkeeping community. We'd love to have you get even more invested and involved. And because I think there's a lot of young goalkeepers out there that could definitely, you know, benefit from your mentorship and your, your guidance and everything like that, who aren't necessarily, you know, at an ECNL club or in the youth national team pool or whatever. And they're looking for, you know, for somebody like yourself to be a role model for the direction that they want to go with their careers. If people want to connect with you on Union, what's your handle on there?
Swag Goalie One.
Nice.
It's also my Twitter handle. That's been my name for a long time. I have it tattooed.
I love it. And then obviously if you want to connect with Saskia, it's at Saskia on the Union. Shout out to all you guys, who've been involved again. I said, we're going to be doing the official launch very, very soon. Now we're wrapping up. We're getting a lot of cool stuff, and parents out there who are listening or watching the show right now, we're going to have a whole section just for you with different town hall Q&A sessions, because you're part of this journey and we want you to be properly educated when you're part
Absolutely.
Of this journey with all
excited
your
about that.
Young very, very excited about that part.
Yeah.
Obviously contact at Goalkeeper Podcast for a guest suggestion or topic suggestion, or contact at insidethe18media.com on email. If you want to reach out to me, it's at Michael Magid. That is all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.
Bye, guys.